Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Hey there, bestie. I'm Lori Ami, your What to Read Next podcast host. Join me as we dive into exciting new reads that'll have you reaching for your TBR pile in no time. From gripping mysteries to spicy romances, we'll explore it all and help you find your next favorite book. So grab a cup of tea, cozy it up, and let's discover some amazing reads together. Welcome to the What to Read Next podcast. I am so happy to be back and I'm chatting with BFF Becky from Too Stupid to Live. We're good friends and we're podcast friends. We've known each other for quite a few years. We were on the same podcast network once upon a time, but I'm no longer part of the network. She still is. And there's tea for that, but we won't share that tea.
There isn't tea.
So it's just personal choices.
Cold tea that's been sitting out. Oh my God, I shouldn't be saying any of this, but it's fine.
It's in there. So we'll see. We'll see if this makes it a final cut. We're not sure. But Becky's going to talk to us about one project that I sort of want to have, that I aspire to have, and we're going to see if I actually follow through. And it is, I sent to my podcast chat, I have a group chat of other podcasters, which you'll see in the show every so often. And I say, I want to have a reading project this summer. I want to read like basic categories. And I share four categories and two categories won. One of them, I already have an idea how I'm going to work on it. But the one that won and I have no idea where to start and I need help is the Alien Monster Romance. I combine them together because it's essentially men are trash. We might as well just go for something else. That's something else in this world to fall in love with. Mm-hmm. And so monster, aliens, and everything in between. My only experience with alien has been I find barbarians for the first like three books. Mm-hmm. And I found them delightful. So I think I'm pretty sure that I'm actually going to like this genre. I'm going to like this project. But Becky's going to help me with this project. So first things first, Becky, tell us how are you doing? What you've been
doing?
Up to?
I am doing great. I am so excited to be here. I still consider us part of the same network just because we're on the same chat. So I'm like, this is the network. Like anything else is just like text at the bottom of the webpage of our podcast. More than the network.
Yeah, we should do our own fake network or like we just put our podcast chat as like a network of like, you know.
We should.
I'll bring it up to the next podcast meeting because we do meet.
So. Yeah, and people have, and like, you know what? Like, I think who isn't going to believe us if we're just like, yeah, this is part of the podcast chat network. And then people be like, impressive.
Yes, I think I'll bring it up to the next podcast chat to see like what are our thoughts about creating our own network. And just,
I mean, really? Yeah.
I have a dream to build a network. So I think it would just be an opportunity.
I think you could do it. I'll join. I'm already in.
There we go. Sometime soon in the fall, there will be a podcast network featuring all great podcasts that you should listen to. Because we do have a really good lineup of podcasters there.
And we got you with our recs. And you're an encyclopedia of recs. Like, I feel like you've become like you're the Siri.
I do. I think that's like my love language is there's two things I love. I like reading. I don't love reading as much as I used to love reading. I love recommending. I love discovering new books. So I love scrolling through Libby and 15 libraries. So I scroll through Libby and like check on new books and I create tags and I just look at covers and I'm like, oh my gosh, this book is coming out. So I have that opportunity. And then I do the same thing with Kindle Unlimited, trying to look for books and create wish lists. And so I love recommending and scrolling through Facebookers and be like, oh, you like this trope? Like, here are five other books. So doing that. Like, that part of discovery is so much fun.
It's so helpful. And there's, like, something, like, so nice. Like, it's weird because, like, when the Rip Bodice first opened in Los Angeles, that used to be two floors. And on the second floor, it was all used books. And it was all, like... books that, you know, I'm going to generalize the kind of narrative here where, oh, you're cleaning out your basement. You have all these books that you read. And you're like, oh, yeah, I remember that. And you like go and you donate it. And it's like there was something so sweet about like picking up a used book, a used romance novel in particular, yeah, and being like, here you go, sweetheart. I enjoyed this. And now I'm going to give you that gift, you know?
Yeah.
And they don't really have that many used. I don't think they do the used books anymore. But like, I don't know. There's something that like, oh, when you have like, you know, your podcast and your recommendations and also like She Reads Romance, other things, you know, it is nice because like, I think it's so hard to make decisions these days. Like it's so hard. Like we live in a world where it's impossible to just make an easy decision.
Yeah.
And the fact that we have like people like you out there who can kind of just like help us navigate the waters, feel less overwhelmed. This is just to read a book. Can you imagine what like people need to decide when it's like they have to do their life and stuff? Like, wow, I can't even decide what to read next.
No, I actually had that problem. I had the problem. I used to have the problem not having enough books to read. And that's how this book started, this podcast started, because it was like, I need recommendations and someone is going to give them. And now I have the problem that I have way too many recommendations. So I started like my Goodreads, it says that I have started 116 books.
Oh, same. Like, yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, I may finish some. I may not finish some. And I think in some ways, I think I'm planning to do an episode. It might be premium. Might be like you might have to pay for this, but it might be the books that I DNF for sure. And the books I DNF that I started, but I just felt that I just didn't feel compelled to read them right now.
Yeah. And that's another thing, like, I think is like, you know, for me personally is like, I sometimes have trouble going on my Goodreads to seeing all the stuff that I didn't finish. Cause I'm like, it's just like, I don't know. Like we were talking about like being a parent, like before we recorded, we being a parent to our younger selves. And so I think that like, sometimes when it comes to reading, I still get in the mindset of being in English where you have to finish a book and you have to know it and you're going to be tested on it. And there's like a teacher looking over your shoulder, you know, ready to grill you about this book. So there's like this level of like unconscious guilt you feel when you're like, oh, I didn't finish. You know, we have an acronym for it. We have a DNF when it's like, there's no DNF for any, like watching the 6 o'clock news. You know what I mean? Why does it have to be for books? It's so, it's very interesting. It's very weird.
It is very interesting, very weird. Yeah. It's like, I don't know. It's, we're coming to an end. We're coming to a season where it's like, you just kind of trust what comes and said, but yeah, I start way too much. It's hard for me to read right now. It's okay to listen to books. It's definitely, I have way too many options. And I think it's like I can hyperfixate. I think like my anxiety, I have anxiety. It looks similar to ADD, but for me, hyperfixation was like a big part of it.
When
I was
all
in, I was like just in and I'll read like five books and I'll do this. And like, I as I got healthier, it's been difficult to hyperfixate anymore. To have that sense of like, I like tunnel vision that I can only do this right now. It's like now my world is a little bit wider and there's more distraction, there's more opportunities, there's more things, there's more interest. And it's like, how do I make sense of this world where it's wider and yet I can't sit still because I have anxiety?
I totally get it. Like, I do have ADHD and I do get hyperfixated and there's nothing like a hyperfixation. Like, last year, I was like really hyperfixated on fantasy and like Game of Thrones and things like that. And so like, obviously, I read fantasy novels, romance novels and things like that. But like, I just like crave to just like I was saying before, just like going on walks and just like listening and just like daydreaming. And it just like you, it's almost like having a crush on an idea. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, I actually am back at daydreaming now. And it's like to the listener, I actually take medication. I've been medicated.
Oh, I do too.
For, I don't know, 15 years with this medication. And this medication's job is to stop rumination. I have 1,000 thoughts a month. If you think I talk too fast, imagine unmedicated me when I was smoking 1,000 thoughts in a minute. Like, it was just like, bam, 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 bam. It was like a mind movie. So I take medication that quiets my thoughts and just, it doesn't let me ruminate.
It slows them down.
It slows them down. So it's a slow moving. And so I actually, now I have to create, I've been able to create space where I can actually daydream and I can actually think about life in a different alternate reality and to think about it not in a way, just going back to that childhood self where you just like go off and you just play with Barbies or play with mm-hmm. Legos and you like imagine the world of like them living and doing the different activities and imagine those activities, what they would look like. And so mm-hmm. it's going back to that place and exploring like what it's like to be reading for joy again.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Not for a job. For mm-hmm. joy.
And not even for a podcast. And this isn't saying that like doing my podcast or doing any, you know, anyone else's romance podcast is like a burden or anything. But, you know, when you read a book and you record something and you put it up, it's a level of responsibility that's different than just like reading for joy. Like reading for joy is just like you have no end game. And I think that we live in a world where we're all like monetizing our hobbies. It's like, it's weird if you're not, you know, even though it's healthier if you're not. And so, yeah, just remembering like, oh, I love reading for my podcast. I also love reading for joy, you know?
So this project may come on air, may not come on air. We don't know. We're going to try the joy fart.
Yeah.
So Becky, tell us about your history with alien monster romance. How did you end up in this world?
Okay. Well, I love all sorts of romance novels. And I will, you know, say that like right now, kind of my fixation is kind of monster alien fantasy. I refer to it for me personally as humanoid romance, where like this is kind of like also going back to like my obsession when I was obsessed with Star Trek a few years ago, you know, going like just if they have like they stand on a certain amount of legs and then they have a certain amount of arms and like, do you know what I mean? And they can fuck and they can have sex with you because I'm a romance reader, you know, like it's like that kind of thing. So whether it is alien, whether it is, well, I've read merman romance. So and they don't have legs. Well, you know what I mean? There's like they have a torso, I guess. Torso romance.
You can put your hand in their chest or something.
Exactly. Do they have a torso? And that's like kind of how I'm seeing it all. And I know maybe I should probably start kind of going into the subgenres of like orcs versus aliens versus, you know, fish monsters versus this versus that. But I'm still kind of like, honestly, in a way, like just because I do read other genres, you know, to kind of fulfill my needs for the podcast, read other books just to take a brain break from all of it. Like I'm still kind of like, ooh, sex with this thing. Let's do it. You know?
Awesome. So what do you suggest for someone who's starting out in this journey?
Okay. Well, I will say that it's interesting because I did, you're like starting out on this journey as a romance reader already or starting out on this journey as like, oh, I want to get into reading and I also want it to be this monster romance because they're two different things. And I have had someone on my show who was like, I never read romance and I want to read this alien romance. Ended up loving it. She loved it. And I thought she was never going to look at me in the eye again.
Well, there we go. So trust. So in this case, we're going to do this because we're doing this for me. So I am a romance reader. And I'm going to give you a taste of what I read. I like to read contemporary. I like to read rom-coms, a little bit of romance fiction, but reality, not a lot of fluff. Bad writing. Mm-hmm. Got to have bad writing. Just does not need to be a beautiful sentence. None of that shit. Mm-hmm. I like fairies. I like Zodiac Academy, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. Like this very, like, somewhat set in this world, but still, like, have some magic or some sort of otherworldly kind of deal. Plot-driven, so it needs to have a plot. I'm okay with just smut and a little bit of plot. That works well, but not a lot of character in depth. Like, I don't need to know. Everyone has a tragic wound. I don't need to know the whole dissection of the tragic wound.
Okay with like, okay, it's mentioned in there just to have it. Okay, cool.
They all do. It's everyone has a tragic wound. It's like the romance 101 is like you have dead parents or
you have dead parents.
Neglectful parents or like, you know, a dead sibling or dead something. Like it's always they always have a tragic, and both sides have a tragic, but it's like not it's one of them. Like no, and it's like parents are allowed.
Yeah, no, yeah, it's very funny because it's like it's sometimes it's like, oh, I'm so uninteresting. I only have like, oh, like I always feel like, oh my god, is this person that I'm writing so not that I write, but I'm thinking about if I were an author, it's like, oh God, this person has like a really good relationship with their siblings and their two parents. Like
I
they're
personally
boring as fuck.
I would love a romance to be similar to like similar to Generation. I saw someone post this day. It's like, I'm an interesting person, but I call my mom every 5 minutes. I like sometimes
right.
you need to have someone like, Mom, do you have allergies at age 43? Mom, do you need to eat? What can I do for food? What did you do for food for my brother? What should you do right now? Like, have this, like, mm-hmm. you know, mother relationship. Like, I know it sounds meddling and I know it sounds, like, not immature, but, like, us millennials, we are still attached to the parents in some way.
Yeah. Like, well, they, like, you know, honestly, they're taking our Social Security from us. We got nothing to thrive on. So, yeah, they owe it to us. We owe it to ourselves to still act like little kids. And I'm sticking by it. Yeah, it's called, like, today, we're actually recording this on Mother's Day, and I, like, was, like, I called my mom, and of course, like, she's like waiting for me to like, is she gonna ask for money? Like, you know,
yeah, like, I was like, okay, I'm seeing you. I'm like, I got tickets, I'm gonna see you in September, and I'm gonna see you in December. I got 3 weeks in September, in December. Like, you'll see me when you see me. I'm her favorite child, my brother's her favorite child. We both are her favorite child, but my brother gets to be fed every morning and every afternoon by my mother. So, if I'm obnoxious by just calling her once a day. Or multiple times a day, it's nothing compared to my brother who gets, you know, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So, okay, so as someone who has a romance journey but wants to dive into alien monster specific, where do you think you should start? As someone who's, we're likely, obviously, you're going to start with, like, the obvious answer is I Spy a Barbarian. It's probably going to be the first answer people come in. But then you do I Spy a Barbarian, you read all 20 books, and you're like, okay, is there any world outside of Ruby Dixon that I need to try out?
Right. Well, I will say, like, you know, ask yourself first, like, do I, like, because there is, like, sub-genre of monster romance.
Yeah.
Where you have your very sweet monster romance and then your very dark monster romance.
Yeah.
So, okay, so you're into very sweet.
No, I don't want too sweet, too, no. And I don't want too dark, no.
Okay.
I'm not a dark. I do read dark romance. I actually at the group. I read the most dark romance from the group, but I don't like dark romance.
Have you read any Finley Finn?
No.
Okay. See, I don't know. Okay. First, I don't know if that's dark romance, but I think it is.
Okay.
It's
does it have
weird.
Trigger warnings? Does it have trigger warnings, like a whole long page of it? Like,
trigger warning orcs. Trigger warning, there are orcs. Well, you know, the thing is that, like, what makes her books very interesting is that, like, orc culture and the way that orcs, like, view sexuality and, you know, expressing your sexuality and your openness and, like, the rules of their society is very, it's like they do it in taboo ways for humans. So I think sometimes
this is
when
a kink?
Yeah, they all fuck each other.
That's not dark. Okay. That's just kink. That's just like good old sexy, smutty.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dark. But what I consider dark is basically like you were kidnapped and you're bully and some and then he's actually, you know, does some things to you, like essay, and then you're like fall in love with him. That's dark.
Yeah. Well, there's no I wouldn't say that there's no essay in at least in my interpretation. But the thing is that I can understand if someone's reading this, going into this new, feeling uncomfortable with some of like the mores that orcs have regarding whatever. But also like, I think like the first Finley Fenn book I read, it was The Librarian and the Orc. And that to me, I will say, like, it scared me to begin with because this is a woman who's was turned on by fear. And that's a really interesting dynamic, which, like, oh my God, I just realized I had a dream where I was at on a St. Andrew's cross last night. Okay, never mind. Okay, you know, like in the orc. I had a dream I was in the orc sex dungeon last night. Anyway, point is, so I'm, like, really glad I'm bringing this up. But, you know, it does, like, kind of cross a line of like, you know, she is exposed in front of other orcs. And it on like if you were to see a scene like that, you know, in real life, like it would be like, let me save her. But in the book, you know, this is a very much a turn on for her. So it kind of like causes you to kind of like go into like, oh, like it makes you think about like your own, like what pushes the butt, what pushes the line for you. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so if you're willing to go to that place, I'd say, yeah, pick up a Finlay Fenn. They're dense. They're disgusting. They're very like fluidy. Like these.
Is there a lot of sperm? I feel like that's the one that has like the gallons of sperm.
So much sperm. Like hilarious amount. Like there was like, I mean, I remember there was like one, you know, when like you see like America's Funniest Home Videos and there's like a hose that goes out of control and like that's what it feels like. That's what I picture of just like an orc. But the thing is that the orc jizz tastes really good and it's like really healthy for you. Like, so like, let's say like you, like if you're on a journey, let's say, and like you don't like any of the food at the inns that you're staying with the orc, he can give you like a really nice full cup of orc jizz for you to drink and you're like, this was great, this was like a Slim Fast smoothie, and you live happily ever after.
Well, there we go. And FYI, listeners, so we set essay, it means sexual assault. Mm-hmm. That's a aberration. I know that not everyone's into lingo, so TikTok lingo, so just an FYI. Mm-hmm. But
I mean, it's so disgusting, but then like at the same time, it's like, okay, well, in humans, you know, our bodies, especially particularly women's bodies, are, I guess some people believe that they're designed to take care of life, you know, and just in orc world, orcs are designed to take care of life. And that's, so is it disgusting because of like what I was raised as, like what's kind of seen as like appropriate, what's not appropriate, you know, like it's so disgusting. But then I'm like, well, it's disgusting because I was taught to believe that this kind of stuff is disgusting. I mean, it's disgusting. Let's be real. It's disgusting. I need to.
it's just a natural fluid.
Yeah. It's a natural
fluid. It's all natural. And it probably has protein and probably fiber.
Like, it's the same thing as like breast milk. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, we see like someone breastfeeding a baby in human form, like the most beautiful, like natural, like, look at this life taking care of life.
That's just like breastfeeding.
Yeah, yet when like someone is literally getting shot across the room with orc jizz, we're just like, that's disgusting. I don't think so. That's wrong.
There we go. All right, so we'll try Finlay Fenn. We'll try a couple of those books. And there is some queer, I think there's like some male orcs.
Yep.
Too, mm-hmm. So there's like a little bit of everything. So
yeah. Perfect. Yeah.
We got to have our queer representations here.
Yeah. What's interesting about the orcs in that world is that there really is no like labels of, you know, straight, gay, you know, it is like in orc world, love is love.
Perfect. And I love this. I love this. As someone who doesn't want to be labeled, it's great.
It's nice to just like see like the way like these orcs are like, they think the thing is that like, don't judge a book by its cover. Like, that's kind of the thing. And you know, they seem so grotesque and so monstrous, but they're like actually have like a really healthy society. And yes, there are flawed characters that lead to like flawed, you know, things in that world, but it is, I think about their orc mountain all night. I spent hours just thinking about orc mountain.
Yes. Awesome. All right. What's the next recommendation? What do you recommend that you're like, okay, now you've got some orcs, try something else.
You know? Yeah. If you are into the fluidy thing, I mean, I'm sure you've heard of Morning Glory Milking Farm.
And that's another sperm actually does its magic.
Yes. This is like, and here's another, when I'm not thinking about Orc Mountain, I'm thinking about this world, because in this world, what I really liked about it, like, this is a sweet story. So there's nothing dark. There's nothing like, it is kind of, I mean, it is very sexy, but I think plot wise, it's very reminiscent of like a Hallmark movie. It's boy meets girl. It's really cute. It's really sweet. Except boy meets girl. Boy's a minotaur or a centaur. I always get those two confused. Apologies to the minotaurs and the centaurs.
I think it's
out
a minotaur.
Minotaur? Okay.
I think so.
So anyway, he's a minotaur, and her job is to jerk him off with like a special jerk off machine and later her hand to get his sperm, because in this world, like, minotaur sperm like contains like the cure-all for everything, and it's being used by like pharmaceutical industries, you know. So when a Minotaur goes in, and like there are many like really great Minotaurs there just going in, donating their sperm to help with like create science and cure diseases.
Stem cell research. This is a woman in STEM having this moment.
Pretty much. Yeah. And so there's another thing I think about of like how did this come to be? Like, I have so many questions, and I love thinking about those questions of like, who realized that this sperm works, and like, how did this all get, you know what I mean? Like, that being said, it's a really cute romance novel, but it's just hard for me not to like, kind of, when I'm unable to sleep at night, think about like the work of that book.
Yeah.
It's very cute though. It's very, I wouldn't say it's as disgusting as like the Finley Fenn, because sometimes with like with the Finley Fenn books, you know, like you'll see the characters like she's still, things are still dripping out of her throughout the day, versus this, where dare I say it's more realistic, where you clean yourself up, or you know,
yeah, otherwise you got a UTI. So
no, oh yeah, there's never any UTIs. No. Have you read a romance novel where someone gets a UTI?
No one gets a UTI, no matter how crazy and the sex is, and the fact that people don't flush shit out. Mm-hmm. Nobody gets a UTI. Nobody gets a pain.
I'm putting this out like as a challenge to anyone except
or
me.
Or a yeast infection. Like any
or yeast kind infection.
Of,
like,
any kind of vaginal thing.
Yeah, like any type of like common vaginal thing that happens, particularly after you have sex with someone for the first time, or just by the just having like intercourse or whatever. Like I would like even like perimenopause, I would love to read. You know what I mean? I'm just like, hey,
I'm glad some authors included period, which is great. Mm-hmm. Except that I didn't read a book that has a period scene, a heavy period scene that sounded like a crime fucking scene. And I was like, nobody, if I was having that kind of heavy period, I would not, like, it's just not realistic. I'm like, no, like, do not come near me, you know?
Yeah, like, and that's in like, so much pain.
Your pain. And she's like, yeah, the pain, sex helps ease the pain. I'm like, okay, that may be your story. Everyone has a story.
But, like, orgasms help ease the pain. And, yes, like, you don't, and so sometimes I feel like with those books, it's like, yeah, sure, a little clitoral stimulation can help with, like, yes, you know, your whatever. But this is just like, oh, they're just like,
it's
going,
just like a whole crime scene. And I'm, yeah, like, it's a crime scene. You know, I still read her other books are great. Mm-hmm. So I still read the rest of the series. This does not deter me. But I would like to have more representation of, yeah, like, perimenopause,
mm-hmm,
yeast infections, UTIs,
yeah,
after,
yeah,
you know, a really tough sex night. Like, it was great, but
it's worth it.
And then, yeah, he's like, you have a UTI, and then he takes care of you.
Is it, how crazy is that? Yeah, like I know, like they go, or like, let's say, like, I don't know, like they go and they pick up your like antibiotics for you. They get you, yes, cranberry juice. Like, I think this kind of stuff, like,
it's telehealth visit, you know, because,
exactly,
you know, like, men can't schedule doctor's visits too. Did you know
can
that?
You believe?
I oh did not, God. I did not know that. I thought it was just like women can schedule doctor's visits, but men can.
If you're dating a doctor, he can just write you the prescription
for
antibiotics.
To.
I know they're not supposed to, but listen, at the end of the day, we know our bodies. And sometimes you just need to, if you already know what's going on, just skip that step. I know it's bad. Sure. Not encouraging it in real life. I'm encouraging,
I know,
it.
That's the way to investigate fraud for doctors.
Right. Yeah. And as someone, like my sister-in-law, I ask her to write prescriptions for me all the time. She's like, no. Like, I'm not going to lose my job.
You're like,
over
please,
you.
It's privilege. It's like, no, you actually have to see the person. It's, yeah, it's a real issue. It's not, you, yeah, know.
Sexy, yeah, in a book, though. Sexy in a book.
Sexy in a book, yes. So we're just, okay, giving, you know, authors, like, another opportunity to give us what we are asking for.
Yeah, you can be like, these are, I know that romances are fantasy and that's why I read them, they're fantasy, whatever, but like you can insert a lot more reality into it than maybe, at least for, if you wanted to please me, yeah, or and possibly other people, can insert more like realistic things into it. You just, you know, use creativity to kind of make it seem not as annoying and inconvenient as it is, yes, in real life.
I mean, this is like a different spice it up outside of the wounded. You know, this is a terrible wound. Like, they can, that's a conflict, that's a struggle. It's mm-hmm. better than the dead parents, you know, sometimes. Because, like, you get to room, like, every parent in the goddamn Roman novel that I read, it's dead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or just doing the stuff. Like, as we start with the wounded stuff, like, this is another wound that they have. We can mm-hmm. actually, it's pain.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Let's go back to, do you have some aliens now?
Okay.
We've talked some orcs, we've got some mentors.
Okay. That's- so there is. Well, the book that I brought up earlier, this is Alien Hanukkah Romance, which I think the author is Julie K. Cohen. Okay. And this book that we read was Whisked Away by My Blue Alien. And those books are like, they're very silly. But again, like, it actually does a good job kind of like combining, like, dare I say, combining the Ruby Dixon universe with the kind of wholesomeness of the Morning Glory Milky Ring Farm universe. Yes. It is a very sweet love story, but it also takes place like a few years like after like aliens like completely took over Earth, and like Earth is so different. Like it's and I think it's like one of the most brilliant things I ever read, because it's like, yeah, like there were like humans enslaved and there was this huge war, but like, nope, we're not telling that story, folks. We're telling a really cute love story. Post-alien invasion war where, you know, and it was just, it sounds on paper that it doesn't work. It worked for me. I really liked it. It was very cute.
Okay, you have me a cute, you have me a like silly, you have me a Hanukkah. You have me a, like a whole, like a whole different thing, you know? So it sounds like a silly Hallmark movie. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like silly Hallmark movie with like kind of the strangest sex you'll ever read. And but also like, I don't know. It's brilliant. I think these books are brilliant.
All right. So we got to talk about special peens, special like, you know, vibrating spurs, different ridges, different spaces. Do you have any ones you suggest to have like, you know, special superpowers?
In this book, in Whisked Away by My Blue Alien, he has two penises. And I think about, this is another thing I think about when I can't sleep at night, because in this alien world, like there's one penis is for pleasure and the other penis is for mating. And so,
I thought it was double penetration.
No, but like do double penetrate, but only one. Like one penis is kind of like the equivalent of like the clitoris in a way of like it exists only for pleasure. And then the other penis is there for when you find your mate and you're ready to procreate with him.
Okay.
So it kind of blew my mind a little bit, because like, can you imagine living in a world where like men decided that sex can also be for pleasure and not just laying claim on property, on territory, on land, on women's bodies? Like, it blows my mind. Like, I'm like, I want to live there. Like, I truly believe if we wanted to dismantle the patriarchy, we just give men another penis, just their fun penis, and then we'll be fine. I know I'm not correct in that, but it's very fascinating to just really think about, in case, you know, you need a hyperfixation on anything. Like, these are, this is it.
I love that. Oh my God. This episode will get explicit ratings.
Oh, please. Yeah. So, apologies.
Oh,
apologies.
No apologize.
Oh, okay.
Apologizing. Sex is positive here. We're positive. Like it is part of our human nature. It's just part of it. So, and honestly, there's something to be said about reading smut or reading spicy or reading however you want to call it. I don't have an issue with that. There's something to be said about exploring your sexuality, exploring in a way that feels good. It feels pleasurable and it feels like, you know, safe to do it. And I think that's allow you to do that safety space.
100%. And I think that like things that like, you know, for yourself, if you think is weird or something that you think about, and you're like, oh, I should be ashamed of feeling that way. They exist in books and it's like a great place, you know, and there's nothing to feel ashamed or weird about or anything.
we won't yuck your yum.
And just never.
Just like we don't want you to yuck our yum. So
is it so hard, folks?
Okay, Becky, tell us about episodes that have aired recently for your podcast so they should tune in.
Sure.
Episodes are coming up in the next couple of weeks, and it will listen, you know, because this is coming out, like, I think first week of June.
Oh, okay, cool. So let me look at my calendar here. So, yeah, no, recent episodes I've done has been an alien romance. I recently put out an episode called Stolen by Starlight with my two good friends, Anne and Ryan. We had a great time discussing that book. And that's a book where there's a lot of like lore. Yeah, like it's like, you know, a lot of like world building that really doesn't matter. And you can literally just like gloss over it, but you still care about the love story. So Stolen by Starlight, I'm very interested in reading the next book in that series. I have an author coming out or an author on the show on an episode. Her name is Marion Bruno, and she wrote a book called The Exception. I don't know if it's a romance. I will tell you the premise, and I'll let the Romancelandia decide if it's a romance or not, because I, you know, whatever. But it's a book about a couple who they're trying to conceive and they're having fertility problems and it's very stressful. And so in some way or another, they decide what's best for them is to take a month-long break from each other and sleep with someone else. And it gets obviously very complicated. But it is like kind of a really interesting take on a second chance romance with the first chance couple, if that makes any sense at all. Yeah. Yeah. It's just like I think it's really funny. Like I love kind of the prose of the main character. And I just think like if you want like to read a book about like a funny, flawed woman just like trying to fit in and feel, you know, feel like she's doing things right and feeling like she's never doing things right. Like, I highly recommend The Exception.
I am excited. I actually, I think I told this at a voice memo to Picture. I was like, I have no hang-ups with cheating. Cheating is, you know, I know cheating is bad and stuff like that, but I don't have any charge around it. I can read books about cheating. It's just this, like, it's about choices about, like, you know, communication and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
There's cheating that's obviously really bad, like scandal. And there's cheating, like, you know, like you kiss someone, you're like, you were in a situation with somebody else, kind of deal. Like, they're not the same. Like, you have to take the story, you have to look at the whole story to understand
exactly
where does it fall in the spectrum.
I feel like there's two types of cheating. There's a scandal cheating, looking only at Bravo. There's scandal cheating, and then there's summer house cheating.
Yes.
With Kyle and Amanda.
Yeah.
This is summer house cheating.
Yeah. So this is like, you know, so I have no charge, you know, it is. My childhood taught me not to have a charge around it. Like it didn't matter. So I'm not opposed to books about cheating. There should be a listicle. My mom's working on that listicle of books about cheating. So I'll post it on the newsletter and I'll post it on the web blog. Once is live, but
nice. Yeah. And so I had an episode with Marion who wrote that book and that's coming out soon. And we just had we had a really great conversation. It was really nice because, you know, sometimes I do have episodes with authors called How to Tell with TSTL. And so that was one of those episodes and it was just really pleasant. So yeah, look out for that.
There we go. All right. Zachy, tell us where we can find the podcast, where we can find you online.
Okay. My podcast is called Too Stupid to Live. You can listen to it wherever you listen to your podcasts. The website is tstlpodcast.com. You can follow the podcast on Twitter and Instagram at tstlpodcast. I personally, Becky Feldman, am also on those platforms, blah, blah, blah. Beckles212. I'm also Beckles212 on TikTok.
Thank you, Becky, for being on the show.
Thank you for having me. It's always great to be here.
Thanks for joining me on this episode of the What to Read Next podcast. If you enjoy our bookish conversations and want more recommendations, don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Also, head on over to the What to Read Next blog for a list of books mentioned in today's show. Happy reading! Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you so much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.